Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm sure you remember when you were children in first, second grade, the teacher would ask you to draw a picture of what it is you wanted to be when you grew up. And I was just talking to my wife about this, and she had she was telling me about when one of our children, our daughter, was little, they had the same kind of an assignment, and all the kids had drawn pictures of policemen and firemen, and she drew a picture of herself going to lunch with her mother. And that's what she wanted to be when she grew up. She wanted to go to lunch a lot. But they instill in you, when you're little, that you need to figure out what it is you want to do when you become an adult. And if you ask people what they want to be, or if you ask children what they want to be when they grow up, you'll hear answers like doctor, lawyer, policeman, fireman, baseball player, basketball player. Hear all these kinds of answers. But one answer I don't think you'll ever hear is, I want to grow up to be a true human being. And it's interesting that that answer is not among the choices that most children think are available to them or are even necessary for them. As we enter into our middle years and our adult years, and we set all these plans, almost all the plans that we set are plans that have to do with what is going to happen in the world. In other words, it's about our relationship to illusion, our relationship to the worldly, temporary manifestation that we exist in and what we're going to do in that manifestation. Very few people understand that there is an entire other world that we can involve ourselves in and become involved in that runs under different rules and regulations than the worldly rules and regulations that we live by in this illusory world. There are difficulties in this world for most people. People have trouble getting jobs. People have trouble maintaining jobs. People have trouble earning a living. People have trouble being happy within the world. People have trouble finding mates. People have all kinds of different problems within the world. And people are affected by different things. Their karma affects the nature of what they do in the world and how they do it in the world. But something men and women need to realize, and it's a critical understanding, it's one that can change their lives. No matter what your status is in the illusory world, no matter what your status is in the world of praise and blame and the world of physical things, you have a choice. You can choose to be kind. No matter how much money you have, you can choose to be kind. No matter what your status is within the world, you can choose to be kind. No matter what your place is in the hierarchy, of this illusory world, you can choose to be kind. You can choose to be merciful. You can choose to be compassionate. And your worldly karma will not affect that choice. So whatever your worldly karma is, you can bypass that by bypassing the importance of what goes on in this temporary manifestation. If you bypass that, you bypass your karma, you bypass your horoscope, you bypass all of these things because you've separated yourself from the importance of these things. And you've chosen to place your being in another sector. You've chosen to place your being, as opposed to this temporary manifestation, you've chosen to place your being into reality. And reality is eternal. It's God's reality, not man's reality. And if you place yourself within God's reality, you bypass all of the difficulties of man versus man and man against man. God is not against you. God is with you. And if you put your faith and your trust in Allah, in the divine, then the divine will protect you and take you towards Him. And if you can separate yourself from your worldly encounters and all of the slings and arrows and difficulties of these worldly encounters, you can bring yourself to a place of contentment within reality. But to do that, it takes a deep understanding of what is real and what is not real. And we have to get a grasp on what's real and what's not real. And as long as we pay homage to what's not real, we can't find reality. As long as we worship what's not real, we can't find reality. The Quran says you can't give any partners to Allah. Allah alone is, and Allah alone is who you worship and who you believe in and in what you have faith in. But if you have faith in the world and if you look to the world to sustain you, you have in essence given a partner to Allah. You have in essence given a partner to the one who is without partners, to the one who is without equals, to the one who is without anything else in his domain. We have to learn how to make that separation. And we have to believe in that separation. So somehow, during our lifetime, we have to be able to conclude what the most important things in our existence are to us. And we have to make active choices once we've made that decision to bring that decision into fruition. So, if we spend our time in the world and the most important thing to us is amassing wealth, we can spend a lifetime amassing wealth. Whether we amass it or not is up to the vagaries of the existence in this world. Some people get rich, some people don't. A lot of people try. But do the ones who amass wealth find satisfaction? Some people want to amass fame. Some do, some don't. But is becoming famous enough to satisfy the inner needs within your being, to satisfy your soul? For most people, you can't tell them that money isn't going to make you truly content internally. Fame isn't going to make you truly content internally. Many women or many men are not going to make you truly content internally. Most people have to go through life experience in order to find these conclusions on their own. But some people are intelligent enough that if they understand the words of a true teacher who explains it to them, and they believe them, and they incorporate those words into their being, they can bypass a lot of the struggles that people go through in this world before they find out that all of this struggling gets them nowhere. And this is one of the true understandings that comes to people when they become older. That all of the struggles that they've gone through to accumulate certain things within the world have not given them the satisfaction, the contentment that they expected to get from them. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Looking for contentment in all the wrong places. Looking for results in all the wrong places. We need somehow, some way, some time to realize that true contentment only comes from one place. That true serenity only comes from one place. That true peace only comes from one place. And no matter how hard you look for it in other places, you can't find it. And no matter what your reasons are for looking for it in other places, you can't find it. There's a Nasruddin story that is probably one of the most powerful ones that I know or have ever heard. And it always comes up as being appropriate for certain situations. Nasruddin is a Hoja, imam in his town. And the only place in town that has a light is the front of the mosque, because they have a little generator that runs the light. And so the front of the mosque is lit up, but nowhere else in town. And Nasruddin at midnight is on his hands and knees in front of the mosque. And one of the people in the village walks by and says to him, "What are you doing?" And he says, "I'm looking for my keys. I dropped them." And the man gets down on his hands and knees and to help him look. And Nasruddin says, "It's not going to help that you help me look." And he says, "Why not?" He says, "Because I didn't lose my keys here. I lost them in the woods." He said, "Why are you looking here?" He says, "It's the only place with a light." And this is what happens. People think that they are going to be able to find things in places where they don't exist. The world is not a place where contentment exists. The world is not a place where serenity exists. The Buddhists will tell you that life is desperation and life is suffering. So what is it that is beyond desperation and beyond suffering? Reality. And what we see with our eyes and our senses, what we feel, touch, hear, smell, is not reality. Reality is beyond this. And we have to go to that place that is beyond this world that we see with our senses. Our teacher used to say, you have to be able to see with the eyes within the eyes, smell with the nose within the nose, hear with the ears within the ear. So there's another level of existence. There's another level of existence other than the one that we see and that the world defines. When I was in college, I was taking a course on different kinds of philosophies of existence. And there was an assignment given to everybody that they had to somehow, in 5 minutes in front of the class, do something that would describe a certain philosophy. So we were sitting in class, and this young woman goes up to the front of the class and writes on the bullet on the blackboard, "Survival of the Fittest," and underneath she puts Darwin. And then she calls me up to sit at a small table, and she calls up somebody else in the class who's about one half my size, and puts him on the other end of the table. And she tells us to arm wrestle. And we arm wrestle, and I, of course, win. And she gives me an apple, and he doesn't get anything. So I took, this is in class, I took a bite of the apple, and then I gave the one across from me the rest of the apple, which totally, to me, was very funny. But at the time, it denied the idea of survival of the fittest. Because if the fittest choose to share with the ones who are less fit, it doesn't work that way. And in truth, if you become a human, that's the way you are. It's only if you deny your humanity do you walk off with the apple. And what does it mean to deny your humanity? It means to deny your godlike qualities and substitute them for the animal qualities that exist within this make-believe world. And this is a choice that we have all the time. Do we try to satisfy the animal qualities within us, or do we try to transcend these animal qualities and go to a place that is beyond animal qualities? Animals are in constant need of things and are constantly trying to satisfy those needs. We have a mind and we have a desire, and we are constantly in a race to satisfy the things that our mind conjures up that create desires in us, and we work to somehow rectify that mind and desire dilemma. But if we can go beyond that mind and desire dilemma, we can find that there is different kinds of satisfaction. The mind is elemental, and the mind looks for satisfaction to satisfy desires from the elemental level. And if you live on that plane, you are constantly going to be trying to satisfy elemental needs. And elemental needs come from this world. And what you can see in the world, if you look closely, is things are born and things dissipate and things die. And if that's the world that you want to live in, then that is a world that's going to take you to your death. But if you can transcend the elemental, you can go to the world of everlasting life. You can go towards eternality. But that is with your Creator, who is eternal. And to go towards that, you have to give up the desires of the world and change those desires to obtaining God's qualities. You see, there's no cure in trying to fulfill the desires of the world. They just get replaced by more desires. They just get replaced by other ideas. They just get replaced by more things there are to conquer in the world. But if you change the desire function within you to desire God's qualities, then there are cures. Because compassion is an end unto itself. It's reality. Mercy is reality. Compassion, kindness, love are reality. And if you can go to that place, then you can alter your inner needs and you can satisfy them. You can become content. Imagine, Allah's name is Rahman, and He allows you to feel Rahman. He allows you to feel mercy. He allows you to feel compassion. Think about it. What is the greatest thing that you can get in existence? Is it worldly gold, worldly silver, or is it to have God's qualities reverberating within your being and being part of you? Can Allah's treasure be matched by the treasures of the world? Can the gold and esteem that the world gives you compare to what Allah's mercy can give you or what Allah's compassion can give you? In the world, you can hoard, you can gather things, and you can accumulate things. In the world of reality, to maintain mercy and compassion, you have to give mercy and compassion. You can't hoard love. You can't hoard kindness. You can't hoard mercy or compassion. If you're going to have it, it's going to happen because it flows through you and goes out to others. And the more it flows through you, the more Allah will give to you. So once you enter into the world of God's qualities, and once you enter into the state where you give God's qualities, God gives to you. He gives to you of Himself because you are of Him. And He intermingles with you because your intention has been set to be like Him. Now, we and many around us were fortunate enough to sit with, be with, live with a man who was constantly giving out God's qualities. And we saw what happened when that was going on. People would crowd to be close to this man because something was going on that was different than what was going on in the normative, or at least what we call the normative world. We learned that what we call the normative world is truly an aberration. It's an aberration of reality. It's an aberration of what mankind is meant to be and do. And that's why the world is constantly in a state of chaotic flux. It's constantly in a state of difficulty. It's constantly in a state of war. We all have a history that we are sort of aware of. We don't know what happened for the last 1,000 or 10,000 years, but most of us are aware of what's happened since World War II. And let's think about it. There was World War II. As soon as World War II ended, the Korean War started. As soon as the Korean War ended, there was the Cold War, with Russia. Then there were all these small wars that began all over the world. There was Vietnam, there was Cambodia, there were all the difficulties in Africa. Then Biafra. Then it jumped over into Europe, where Serbia had its difficulties with Croatia, and the wars were going on there. But if you look at the world, in our own history since World War II, you will see that conflict never stopped. It was constantly going on. And everybody always talks about it stopping, but nobody ever does anything about stopping it. Everybody thinks that you can stop it by becoming stronger than your enemy and destroying them more. That isn't how it stops. It stops by people stopping. Well, the world isn't going to stop doing it. But can we stop doing it? Can we stop being in conflict? Can we remove ourselves from the conflict and set up a place where there is peace and where there is serenity for ourselves and for the ones close to us? We are fortunate enough that we live in the United States, where we can do this. We're not assaulted by weapons on a daily basis. We have the opportunity to be free to pursue our own ideals. And if our ideals are freedom of truth, we will find that we will begin to live a different kind of life. That life has to be one that separates ourselves from the ordinary world into a world of transcendence, into Allah's qualities. And to do this, we have to study Allah's qualities, we have to find out what they are, we have to find out how they act, what they mean, and we have to devote ourselves to this study. Most people devote themselves to the study of the world. They devote themselves as to how to find a profession that makes them money. What we need to do is devote ourselves to finding out how to become compassionate. Devote ourselves to find out how to become merciful and stay merciful so that when the world tries to turn us, we won't turn. When God created man, he told the angels to bow down to man. The angels all did except for one, and he was Iblis. And God said, "Why don't you bow down, Iblis?" And Iblis said, "Because this is something that you created out of dirt. We are higher than this. And I am not bowing down to this, because he will cause problems in the world." And God said, "You don't understand." And Iblis said, "I will show you that he will turn against you." And God said, "The ones who believe in me will not turn against me." And then Iblis said, "Well, I will implore them and show them that the way to go forward is not towards the Lord, but towards me." And Allah said to Iblis, "You can only do this with the ones who don't believe in me. And the ones who do believe in the truth, you'll never be able to touch." Well, Iblis, Satan, is still working out there. And he's still trying to touch people and take them in the inappropriate direction. But Allah has said that if we believe in him, Satan can have no power over us. And we need to become believers. That belief will protect us from all of the difficulties that the world can throw at us. Because these things become irrelevant once transcendence occurs. What difference does it make what other people think of you when Allah loves you? What difference does it make what other people say about you when Allah protects you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We need to believe in that protection. We need to actually not just talk about God, but believe in God and believe in the power of God and what it is that God does for us and continues to do for us. And if we have that belief system, then we can transcend the difficulties of this world, no matter what the difficulties of this world are in our lives. Belief in Allah will transcend poverty. Belief in Allah will transcend difficulties. But there has to be belief. There has to be this transcendent quality in our existence. And then all of those things, all of those animal things beneath us won't touch us, won't influence us, won't take us in directions that make our life difficult. But we have to choose. So it comes down to setting an intention to find Allah. It comes down to setting an intention to take on qualities that are transcendent, His qualities. And that's what gives life and what changes life into reality. May our lives become real. May we begin to know the reality that exists between ourselves and our Lord. May we know that that is the only reality in existence. Everything else is illusory and a lie. So let's turn away from the lies. Let's turn towards truth, and let's become at one with the truth. Amin, amin, ya Rabbil Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.